Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is May 8, 2014. With Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. And believe me, folks, it is happening out there. If you need help with anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can also call me for that. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, a prayer request, or a message. Please, when you call, tell me what the problem is. I had a fellow call me the other day and said something about he just walked out of a church and he babbled on, and I couldn't understand him for nothing. And, you know, I finally had to end the call because he didn't make sense. If you're in a completely agitated state, just come on and say, can you pray for me right now? And I'll pray for you. The Father will know what you want, and we'll say a prayer, and that will calm you down, and then we can talk. So, anyway, again, if you need help with anything after the program, you can call me. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, the cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Now we're going to say a prayer, and I really want to get into tonight's topic, so let's get a prayer and we'll bring our guests on. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guests. But, Father, please let everyone understand the subject, give everybody ears in which to hear the truth, and just bless us tonight. Amen and amen. Well, you know, there's stuff going on all over the world, let alone beyond the fact, if you go to our blog at prophecyhour.com, you'll see a big article about Russia having nuclear war games. That's a big topic, not the topic we're going to talk about tonight, though. But go to prophecyhour.com and check out everything that's over there. But anyway, many people are talking about the revealing fact that the email that came out about Benghazi made it look like the White House was or really is indeed trying to hide the real truth of what happened in Benghazi and the cover-up after. Well, so many people are all ecstatic about it and everything, but you know what? There's a lot more to that email than just what you've been hearing on either Fox News, and I hear old Fox News for talking about it, but, you know, the normal mainstream media really isn't talking about it, but still there's much, much more to it. Anyway, tonight we brought back on with us Ben Barrick, who, by the way, my producer just pegged as a comedic host. Ben is an investigative talk show host, and he also works with Wally Chubat, who is an ex-Palestinian terrorist, but he's a born-again Christian now. So anyway, you can find both of their work, especially Ben's, at benbarrick.com. That's Ben's radio program place, and Chubat.com, which has the articles that I'm referring to. And if you go over there in the articles, make sure you got some time because you will just get lost because they have one article after another after another. Anyway, that's at Shubat.com. Now, Ben's also the author of two books so far. Anyway, it's Unsung Davids, and it's a great book. You should read it, especially before the election that's coming up. Anyway, and Islamophobia, which he co-wrote with Walid Shubat. So let's just get Ben on and see what's going on. Ben, are you there with me?
I'm good, and I'm glad to hear that your producer there has upgraded me from subject to comedian.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing. Really, I didn't think there were, I guess we do laugh a lot, you know. But while we have fun, these things now, I'm looking, we talk about the, you know, Benghazi for such a long time. And, you know, I went over today to refresh my mind because I stumbled across that article about the emails, you know, when I called you the other day. But I'm having a hard time finding just that email because there's so much other stuff that you guys got out there by it. I don't even really know where to ask you where to start.
Well, we can try to start at the beginning if we know where it is.
If we know where it is. What, two
well,
years ago?
Yeah. I tell you, the Judicial Watch released about a series of emails, probably about 100 and some pages last week, after it had submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the State Department for any and all documents relating to Benghazi or the administration. I'm not sure who it submitted the FOIA request to. Well, it was denied, so they sued, and the court ruling came back, said, hey, you know, you got to release these emails. So Judicial Watch, after 20 months since Benghazi happened, got these emails, and one email in particular from Ben Rhodes, the White House deputy and brother of the president of CBS News, by the way, sent an email to various parties. One was Jay Carney, the Carney barker for the president. One was David Plouffe, who, you know, the little liar that traipses out onto television shows quite often. And then Dan Pfeiffer was another one, another Obama sycophant who may have cracked the age of 30. I'm not sure. The other individual that's on this email, and the email, by the way, what the email says and why it was referred to as a smoking gun is that it has to do with Susan Rice's Sunday show prep for her talking points that we now know she blamed the video. This email shows that the email came from the White House, and that it was the White House that instructed Susan Rice to blame the video for the protest in Benghazi, which it wasn't a protest, it was an attack, and the video had nothing to do with it. So the attempts by the administration to blame the CIA for giving these talking points is torpedoed by its own email. On top of that, the CIA former deputy director, Mike Morrell, last month testified that no one at the CIA blamed the video, that no information was given to the White House with mentioning the video. So this even further tightens the noose around the administration. Now, that is that's the email the story that came out in the mainstream media last week as to why this is a smoking gun email. But what we uncovered this past weekend is another completely different dimension to this whole thing. And that is, one of the recipients of the email is a guy named Mehdi K. al-Hassani. Now, if that name sounds Muslim, that's because it is. But it, not only is it Muslim, Mehdi K. al-Hassani was president of the George Washington University Muslim Student Association in 2005 and 2006. Now, the Muslim Student Association is a Muslim Brotherhood group. Let me repeat that. The Muslim Student Association at George Washington University is a Muslim Brotherhood group. And this guy, al-Hassani, was not just a member of this group, he was the president of this group. And the MSA chapter at George Washington University is a bit notorious because it has some other notable figures in its history. One is a lady that you and I have spoken about before, is Huma Abedin.
Right.
When Huma Abedin came back to the U.S. Sometime around 1996 and began working for Hillary Clinton that year, she was with George Washington University. And in 1997, she was a member of that board of that chapter. Now, this would have been before al-Hassani, but nonetheless, those are two individuals with ties to this group. The other individual, perhaps even more in line with terrorism, because he's a member of al-Qaeda, also was a member of this MSA chapter at George Washington University, none other than Anwar al-Awlaki, the imam that inspired the Fort Hood jihadist in 2009. Awlaki was a chaplain at this MSA branch in 2001. So now we have an employee of the president, National Security Council, some sort of advisor. I could read his entire job title, but it might take us to the end of the show. So it's just an employee of the White House is this guy. Why was he getting the email in real time on September 14th, 2012, that the American people are just now getting? What is it about this guy that warrants his receipt of that email? And there's more about him that is disconcerting, to say the least. In or about 2006, he was part of a I like to call it the interfaith dialogue. Oh, I hate that term.
I got to say something now. I hate that too. Interfaith dialogue. That's just crazy. It actually, interfaith usually means anti-Christian. But this is insane. What you're laying out here, Ben, and what I've been looking at in these emails and everything, and all along, this looks like if we watch this on late night TV, you know what I mean? This would be a plot for a blockbuster movie about to overthrow the government and to possibly control the world. You know what I mean? It's like something out of I don't know, what's that weird little short guy that did those funny movies, spy movies, whatever. Anyway,
Tattoo.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, and so this is just craziness. Interfaith.
Yeah, 24 just started. Maybe we've given them here a new script. Maybe they should change the script for next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is it's very disturbing, and we need to know the answers to these issues. For example, on or about 2006, this al-Hassani went on, as I mentioned, the excursion to Europe in an interfaith dialogue trip, and he went there with a guy named Dr. Yahya Basha and a lady named Farah Pandit. Now, I knew those names when I came across this, and those names by themselves are very troubling, because Dr. Yahya Basha currently sits on the board of the Syrian Emergency Task Force. And if you remember that, the SETF, that was in the news last year with the chemical weapons attack, and when John McCain posed with terrorists when he was in Syria, the doddering old senator from Arizona posed with terrorists in Syria. He was there with the Syrian Emergency Task Force, which apparently they're a 501c3, they're tax exempt, and their objective is to raise funds in the U.S. For the Syrian opposition. They like to call it the freedom fighters who belong to the Free Syrian Army. I call them jihadists. Because they seek a Muslim Brotherhood agenda. But Dr. Yahya Basha, in 2001, that time frame, he had access to the George W. Bush Oval Office. Right. He had access to the Oval Office as a direct result of Grover Norquist, who you and I have spoken about before. Grover Norquist is incredibly sympathetic to the Muslim movement in the United States. And prior to George Bush getting elected, and after he was elected, and after 9/11, Karl Rove and George Bush listened to Grover Norquist and welcomed these Muslim leaders into the Oval Office just about 2 weeks after 9/11. George Bush welcomed in Yahya Basha and Muzamil Siddiqui, the president at the time of the Islamic Society of North America, a Muslim Brotherhood group, Salam al-Mariati, CARES executive director, Nihad Awad. He then proceeded to speak at the mosque in D.C. just a week after 9/11 with Nihad Awad at his side, the president, the executive director of CARE, and also Khalid Safouri, the guy who founded, co-founded the group with Grover Norquist, the Muslim front group that took tens of thousands of dollars in feed money from a convicted terrorist named Abdurrahman Al-Amoudi. Now, this is Yahya Basha. This is the guy who went to Europe with al-Hassani on the email. The other individual that joined al-Hassani to his trip to Europe, on his trip to Europe for interfaith dialogue, was Farah Pandit. Farah Pandit is currently the Muslim outreach official for the State Department, unless she's moved on, I'm not sure. But in 2009, she was sworn in under Hillary Clinton on the Quran. She was sworn in on the Quran, gave her oath. You can watch it. It's on the Internet. You can watch her swear an oath to the Constitution with one hand on the Quran. And she has had multiple excursions to Europe to work with Muslim Brotherhood front groups. In fact, 2 days after Benghazi attack. Now, try to remember what you were thinking 2 days after Benghazi. This would have been 1 day prior to the email that Ben Rhodes sent.
Right.
Two days after the attack, at the Ben Franklin Room in the State Department, Hillary Clinton was on hand with Farah Pandit and a Libyan ambassador, who also had sympathies and histories with the Muslim Brotherhood front groups in the U.S., the ISNA and CARE. They were inside the Ben Franklin Room celebrating a Muslim holiday. And Farah Pandit was part of that, and she gave a speech, and Hillary gave a speech, and this Libyan ambassador gave a speech, and all that. So these, by the way, Farah Pandit was also photographed with Huma Abedin and Huma Abedin's mother in Saudi Arabia. Now, Huma Abedin's mother is a leader with the Muslim Sisterhood, and Huma Abedin is still a close advisor to Hillary Clinton. So when you look at what we've discovered before, you know, with Huma Abedin and other figures, those indicated Muslim Brotherhood infiltration of the U.S. government. Now we have Muslim Brotherhood infiltration, per this email, on the narrative that has proven false about the video being responsible for Benghazi. Now, one of the things that we hear a lot here in the West, in the U.S. and Western media and politicians, pundits and whatnot, is the reason why they believe the Obama administration wanted to blame the video. I don't discount this, but I believe it's not the full story. First of all, the narrative that's coming out of the punditry here in the U.S. is that the reason they blamed the video was to protect the election year narrative that al-Qaeda was on the run. It was to protect Barack Obama in the election, that al-Qaeda was dead, and if the truth came out about this, it would torpedo that whole narrative. And look, I think that's beyond credible. I think that definitely played a factor. But when you deal with tangled webs, there are multiple reasons for different things. And the reason that the Muslim world wanted to blame the video is different. The reason they wanted to blame the video was to pressure non-Islamic countries and governments to enact laws that would make it a crime to criticize Islam. Now, when you take that into account, and that's indisputable. I mean, we uncovered that 2 days after the attack. We even found the names of the people involved. Syracuse.
Okay, stop one moment. I'm going to let you take a breath. I want to address folks for a minute. Folks, you really need to go back and go to our podcast archive and go back and look at some of the, or listen to these programs that we did with Ben right after all this happened. Because a lot of this, everything that he's saying has already been documented, and he's been saying it for a while, and, you know, it's all coming about. You can trust what Ben's telling you because, you know, it is true. And, Ben, you know, I'm sitting here staring at the on Shubat.com, all of these, you know, different articles like that one that you're really into right now. But wasn't it like something going on in Norway at that time that was trying to push that agenda?
Yes, and I don't remember the specifics of that, but yes, absolutely. This was mainly a push in Europe. It was very much like the Muhammad cartoons, if you remember in 05 and 06.
Right.
They really made some gains with that, you know, the riots and the protests that were taking place. This was an attempt to replicate that on a much wider scale, and fortunately it failed. But that doesn't diminish the fact that they're going to try it again, and the American people need to be aware that in much the same way that Operation Fast and Furious, if you remember, attempted, the reason for that was to undermine the Second Amendment. The reason for this right. video was to undermine the First Amendment. They wanted to attack freedom of speech. When you say, for example, a country makes it illegal, a non-Muslim country makes it illegal to criticize Islam, you're not going to have people like Pastor Terry Jones down in Florida who decided to burn the Quran would have been jailed, would be jailed. That is an extremely dangerous and slippery slope. And the insanity of it all is you're rewarding the rioters for behavior that is should be punished. You're rewarding. Rioters are blaming people outside themselves for their own behavior, and when you criminalize the behavior that causes them to riot, you are rewarding their behavior. You're going to get more of their behavior, not less.
Let me break in. We only got 30 seconds before break. Where should they go? Give us a website.
Well, I would direct people to Shubat, Shoebat.com to get the latest on all of this. And then also a brand new website that we just started with a co-host of a radio show that I do. It's called WBDaily.com. So check that out.
What's that? WB Daily?
WB Daily. That B is in, like, World Beat. The world is our beat. WB Daily.
Yeah, WB Daily. Okay, .com. All right, we'll check that out. And we'll be back, folks, in 3 minutes with more with Ben. It's indeed a tangled web.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Hi, stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember, I always say pray tonight about a donation for a work with the homeless and poor from our mission church, you know, and I do need you to pray for that. But listen, this weekend we're having an event that we're praying will fund the woman's shelter. Now, this is an event like we've never did before, and, you know, we run into this hurdle or that hurdle. And what I want you to do is yes, we do need your donations, amen, but I need your prayers. I need you to pray and keep the devil away from this event and that it's successful, because then we can open the woman's shelter, which, by the way, we've got half of it now fixed and done. We've only got part of the beds that we need for it, but we have it fixed and done. I just got that report yesterday from this real young man who's been on fire helping us since he got saved last summer. And he came, I know he was sent to us. He has fundraised for this thing and got all kinds of gifts to give away at to raffle off at this fundraiser. Just amazing what this young man has done. And he's also got, found the help needed to come in and do the painting work and everything over there at this apartment. And let me tell you what, they're working on it in the heat over there. We have no air conditioner there. That's one of the things we need to buy. But they're working on it over there in the heat. It's been like 100 degrees or so. So pray for these guys that are working on it and pray that the event goes well this weekend. And two, we're still short about $1,000 of being able to put on this event. So pray about it. See if you can can help. If not, just, you know, keep us in your prayers. But anyway, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. But in this case, if you're donating for this event this weekend, pray about doing it online. But you can mail us a check or money order, and you can find all the information back over there at prophecyhour.com, which, like I've said many times, is like a hub for all our ministry things. In fact, you can find out all about this by going to prophecyhour.com and go click on Woman's Mercy link, or that's which is just womansmercy.com, and you can find all about what we're up to. And so pray about it. Anyway, if you are one of those 15% of the people that don't use the internet, simply call me at 620-878-4682 and we'll talk about it. Anyway, I'm really want to get back with this guest. You still with us there, Ben, or did you leave?
Affirmative.
You left? How can you talk if you left? That doesn't make sense. Okay. Anyway, let me open with asking you this question, Ben. I was talking to the producer, Frank, before we came on, and this thing is a tangled web. It has one line upon another line upon below another line, and it goes on and on and on. If it's so apparent to us, what if, with all the senators and all the people that we have over there, why is it that these people could have got in charge and that we could... It could be where it's at. It doesn't make sense.
Well, I know, and that's something that I think we all wrestle with. You conclude, at least I conclude, that they're either dirty themselves. You know, that I was telling my son today. I said, "Son, there's a reason why you're never supposed to get dirty, because it's so hard to get clean again." I mean, it's you stay clean. I said, when you stay clean, you have tremendous power and strength. And I think that when these folks get in D.C., whatever it is, whether it's big or small, I think they get dirty. I think they get involved, a lot of them, not all of them, but I think they get involved in deals and tit-for-tat and quid pro quos and this and that. And I think a lot of them end up being shady. And then in the case of, for example, I'll give you one example. Congressman Mike Rogers. Congressman Mike Rogers heads the House Intelligence Committee. And I did an article today at Shoebot.com about him. The trail of his behavior since the summer of 2012, to include his response to Michelle Bachmann, who raised questions about Muslim Brotherhood infiltration, and Huma Abedin in particular, since that's the individual that got the most attention, it was inexplicable. I mean, Michelle Bachmann sits on Mike Rogers' House Intelligence Committee and wrote these letters about Muslim Brotherhood infiltration, which are bearing out in spades right now. I mean, it's just there's no way you can refute this. You know, he responds, Mike Rogers does, instead of defending his committee member, he responds by denouncing, disavowing himself from Bachmann and referring to Huma Abedin as a patriot, an American patriot. In hindsight, that's aging like vinegar. It's pathetic. And not only that, but after Benghazi, his behavior has been very, very suspicious. Yeah. And now we learn that he's going to not run for re-election. He's going to resign, and he's going to go into the talk radio business. I'm going to predict he fails because he doesn't tell the truth. He's not forthcoming. And I think, plus I've heard him on the radio. He's not very interesting to listen to.
Right.
But the thing is that, for example, he did not want a select committee in Benghazi. He was forced to admit, during an interview with Fox News Channel's Megyn Kelly, he was forced to admit that Christopher Stevens met with his committee in the days before the attack. You could tell he didn't want to admit it, but he knew he had to. What were the contents of that meeting? And all of these things that are subsequent to that, he delivered a very uninspired performance when he had the deputy CIA director in front of his committee last month. There's one thing after another with this guy. Timing is very curious. His chief investigator on his intelligence committee reportedly signed up for a job working with the deputy CIA director that was going to testify. There's conflicts of interest. There's different kinds of things, and I wonder how much about Benghazi Mike Rogers really knows, and how much did he know before the Benghazi attack? I mean, there's been reports, very credible, from very credible sources, Catherine Herridge and Seymour Hersh, who broke the My Lai massacre back in the 60s, and also the Abu Ghraib scandal. He's considered a left-wing journalist, but he's also got a lot of credibility over the years. And there is a school of thought that says that Benghazi was indeed about trafficking weapons to Syrian rebels through Turkey. And if you read Seymour Hersh's very convincing article, David Petraeus was in charge of that operation that began in early 2012. Now, I would submit that if that's true, then David Petraeus is in a world of hurt if that comes out officially, because not only is it illegal to do that, but it came back on him, and we got those four deaths in Benghazi. So the question that I want to have answered, is that accurate? Was David Petraeus involved in the operation to send weapons to Syrian rebels through Turkey from Benghazi? And if so, what kind of a criminal offense is it when it led to the death of four Americans, one of them a U.S. ambassador? And if that's true, did Mike Rogers know anything about it? And if he did, it would make sense why he's behaving suspiciously. Now, I'm not saying that he did. I'm just saying that as the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, these guys have access to a lot of information. So to your point, your broader point about what's going on with these guys, I think that they can get into these kinds of situations, and it more than clouds their judgment. It corrupts their judgment, or it can.
Well, right, and that's why we even have, you know, folks, we even have to look twice at everything that they're saying, because, you know, for us to have this knowledge like this about the turkey and the gun range, you know, that you brought that up from the first. That was something that was looked at. You know, that's like Iran-Contra, folks, you know, the gun running and all that. But that gun running, that's ended up giving guns to people that do not like the United States, that would like to overthrow the United States. So in another day and age, wouldn't that have been called treasonous?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if you were to peel back the curtain right now on D.C. and just before you do it, define treason, define traitor, and you were to peel back the curtain, and before you did that, you said, okay, this is a definition. You peel back the curtain and you apply that test to everybody in Congress, I think it would be a majority. And that is disturbing. I mean, you could throw practically every Democrat in the mix, but I think there is a case to be made for some Republicans if we were to learn the truth, because we're constantly seeing behavior from these people, and we go, what in the world? I mean, I want to beat my own head against the wall, not just theirs. I just say, what are you thinking? What is it? And it doesn't make sense, and I think that, you know, when you're talking about tangled webs, you know, we're constantly looking for a reason for X happening or a reason for Y happening. When you're dealing with tangled webs, it's multiple reasons. That's what makes them tangled. That's what makes them so whenever you think, oh, okay, that's why they're doing it. No, there's a lot of other things involved.
There's a lot of other reasons.
Oh, yeah.
This thing is late. It's just craziness. It's just like, I was surprised. And again, folks, you need to go over there and look, because the article that we're talking about right now, I'm going to read the name of it, Ben. It's called Muslim Brotherhood and Benghazi Truce Being Hidden by Talk Radio Congressman. You need to look at that, and you need to keep asking yourself the question, why are there advisors and other people in the White House that couldn't even pass a security clearance being given all these things? You really need to ask yourself about that and wonder where you're at. Something let me bring up, not because this will go along with all of it. I was watching the Five just before we came on today, and they're talking about all these girls that were kidnapped, and what I'm saying, in Nigeria. But they're saying now they actually were openly saying it on Fox, and one of the girls was just really mad, and she was calling it. She said there's a worldwide war with Islamic terrorism, and she said she didn't care who knew it or whatever, blah blah blah. But you could tell these people have been, they've had buckets of water flowing on them, and so the truth in the media, I don't know, but maybe they were saying today on the Five, and I'll let you speak, they were talking about how Hillary had this particular group, she had helped them not be classified as terrorists. And they're saying also now, though, the celebrities are coming out and, jumping on the thing, saying it's a threat. Hillary,
Yeah, it is really interesting, because I think that the reason that there was this pivot towards these Nigerian schoolgirls, it actually started last week. I don't know if you saw when Bob Beckel had his meltdown.
Yeah.
They were talking about Benghazi.
Oh, yeah.
And Bob Beckel just had a meltdown. But before he did that, he tried to change the subject to the Nigerian schoolgirls that had been kidnapped. And it was like, wait a minute, what does that have to do with Benghazi? I mean, you and I, we know about the persecution of Christians all across the Middle East. It's been going crazy since Obama took office. It's, right. In the hundreds of thousands. It's just crazy. So here you are, 5 years later, now all of a sudden, while we're talking about Benghazi, you're all of a sudden concerned about 200 Nigerian schoolgirls that have been kidnapped. I believe that this was a calculated effort by the left and by the Obama administration to change, to kind of ratchet up the war on women to it being a war on Nigerian schoolgirls. Because right. The Republicans, all they want to do is worry about Benghazi, and they want to politicize Benghazi. Meanwhile, we got all these Nigerians. Hey, doofuses, we have been screaming from the rooftops for the last 3-4 years about you guys promoting the Muslim Brotherhood and allowing these Christians to be slaughtered all over the Middle East. And now you're going to talk about Nigerian schoolgirls. That's what angered me. And I'll tell you what I see here is when you peel back the layers here, when you peel back and you expose it to sunlight, what you just described, and I didn't see it, but what you just described is that when people start to see this, which is what we've been screaming about, they see right. One example of it, they're outraged, and it sets a fire. And I think what happens is this administration has been snake bit. And one of the reasons that Obama has been so successful before he became president was because he was able to hide.
Right,
he was
right.
A community organizer. He didn't have a 24/7 spotlight on him. And he was able to pivot and change subjects and move and shake and just move from one crisis to another. And he's trying to do that here. And I think that what we are seeing is a pattern. We saw it last right. year. I think what happens is whenever a crisis gets to a scandal gets too close to him, a big one, there's an effort made to shift to something else and just
right.
say, okay, well, maybe this isn't good that we shift to this, but it's better than what we got. And what he did last year, if you remember when Benghazi broke big last year, in fact, it was 1 year ago today when Gregory Hicks testified in front of the House Oversight Committee. The mainstream media started to pick up on it. They started – Jonathan Carl at ABC, it started to get legs. And it was on a Wednesday. On a Thursday, Lois Lerner
yeah.
Gave her infamous speech in front of the employees in which he admitted wrongdoing with Tea Party groups. By Friday, the news story was IRS. And I believe, especially in light of what we're seeing all the time with this administration, I believe that that was a concerted effort to say, we got to get heat off Benghazi. What can we do?
Oh, come on. You think that, I mean, folks, listen, you think Lois Lerner just went out there all on her own and threw herself on a sword and said, oh, this is what I did. I repent. You know, that's, she's, I don't know whether she, what religion she is, but she's left, and that's a religion in itself, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I don't believe, no way, shape, or form. I mean, I saw that just, I mean, it was plain as day. Okay, now let's switch to the IRS. I mean, it's not good, but it's not as good as Benghazi. So it keeps coming back. They're all trying to keep us away from Benghazi. What is the biggest, deepest secret of Benghazi? You know, was it the kidnapping? Was it the gun running? What was it, trying to shut up the video? What was it?
Well, I'll tell you about one interesting thing about the video is that the video maker, Nakula Baseli Nakula, you know, the guy that was arrested by the LAPD and traipsed out with a towel on his face, that guy, he was a federal agent. He was an agent for the Eric Holder Justice Department in 2009. This guy was an informant. He was arrested in 2009. And he was given a lesser prison sentence. And I want to make sure people are listening to this. This is very, very important. This guy was arrested in 2009, and he was sentenced in the summer of 2009. So this has been about 6 months after Obama had been in office. He was sentenced because of a bank fraud scheme that he was involved in. And he was given a lesser sentence, 1 year off his jail time, to help catch a bigger fish in his fraud scheme, his partner, a guy named Iyad. And so that was the deal, okay? And this is the feds. DOJ, Justice Department attorneys, granted him this deal, okay? That was 2009. In January of 2011, this is what you won't hear in the media, but it's ironclad fact. Got the emails to prove it. In January of 2011, Iyad was arrested by the Canadian Peel Police, okay? For 7 months, they tried to get the FBI to take Iyad, and they wouldn't do it. So I have this one question. If Nakula was given a lesser sentence to help catch Iyad, why did the feds not want Iyad when he was offered? What that tells me is that Nakula was given a lesser sentence for something other than getting Iyad. Right. And if he was given a lesser sentence for something other than getting Iyad, what was it? We heard in the days after the Benghazi attack, we heard Obama and Hillary go overboard. Thou dost protest too much is what it sounded like, saying, let me be clear. The United States government had absolutely nothing to do with this video. Why say it? Why say it? Did they have something to do with that video? I'm not saying they did. I'm not saying they didn't. What I am saying is that the guy who made the video has a history of being an informant for the FBI and was an informant for Eric Holder's Justice Department.
Man, I almost feel like, maybe I ought to duct tape your mouth shut. You keep there is enough here for about, a couple of Encyclopedia Britannicas, you know?
Can I dictate?
I hope so. I mean, I wouldn't want to have to write all this. This is so interwoven. Every time you shine the light on one thing and say, well, maybe this is why it is, then there's something deeper. Now, I didn't really, and so that one flew by me. Maybe I read it or heard it someplace, but I don't remember about the informant thing at all, him being an informant. I thought he was just a poor scapegoat. But then is there scapegoats in this?
In fact, Here's more stuff to throw on that.
Oh, great.
Nakula has been portrayed as a Coptic Christian, which is why he made the video. A, if he's a Coptic Christian, why would he be so deceptive in the production of the video? Why would he miss? Christians aren't supposed to do that. Why would he mislead all of these actors and dub new lines over their? Why would he do that? And the second thing is that Iyad is a Muslim fundamentalist who hates Coptic Christians. So my question would be, why in the world is a Coptic Christian partnering with a Muslim fundamentalist for 10 years, at least? Why were they partners to begin with?
Yeah. None of it adds up at surface level. There's just another level and another level and another level. You know, maybe we should have took, this is something I've been thinking for a while and I've been wanting to run it by you. You remember that Obama, after he came into office sometime after, he said we were no longer a Christian nation, but actually said that we were a Muslim nation.
Right.
And with everything else that he said, maybe we should have just took him at his word and believed him. In that sense that a Muslim has taken over the White House. He's appointed advisors that either pro-Muslim or are Muslim. And so, really, it looks like, you know, we aren't a Christian nation, that indeed we have been taken over by a silent coup. What do you think?
It's looking more and more like that. That idea sounded pretty crazy, especially the leftists in 2008 with Obama mania. Not so much to us who dug into this guy's background. You know, I saw a photoshop the other day. You know, the poster for the film Lawrence of Arabia about Lawrence who went over to Saudi Arabia on behalf of Great Britain and everything else. Well, there was a photo very similar to that, only Obama was dressed that way, and it said Hussein of America. I think that is much more plausible than it was yesterday, than it was the day before yesterday, et cetera. And let's not forget, look, this guy's uncle, this guy, the president's uncle, Saeed Obama, is on video saying that his entire family, the entire Obama family, is Muslim.
Right.
Are we to believe that Barack is the exception? I mean, are we to believe that he's the lone exception? The odds are he's not an exception, that he's part of it.
Right.
And
along
that's
with
what
that, what's that word that you used? Not to cut you off because we only got about maybe a minute or something. What's that word that they use about lying? You know what I'm
Maruna?
Talking about. Yeah. Considering that they can lie to protect themselves, you know, when they're a Muslim.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. And, folks, you should check out those programs that we've had. Well, Ben, I've come to the end of this. Tell them again about that other website. I brought it up. That looks pretty neat. WB Daily.
Yeah, it's WB Daily, and the tagline is The World is Our Beat, WBDaily.com.
Okay, well, when I put this up in the archives, besides your main website, I will also have this, folks. And, Ben, I'm sure we'll talk again, and I appreciate you being on. You're the only person I know that really has all that, well, other than maybe Wallen, but of course, but you have all this tangled web in your head. So what does that say
about
you?
Yeah, that's been a problem for quite a while.
Yeah. All right.
It's something you really got to manage.
Okay, we'll talk again. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right. Wow. I just loved it. But you guys need to go over at shoebat.com and look at those things. And if you don't listen to Ben on the radio, you should listen to Ben on the radio. Send him an email once in a while and tell him that you enjoyed listening to him on our program, or me for that matter. Let me know how you liked him. Anyway, what I do get is when this goes to podcast or whatever, I get a lot of downloads for his program. Anyway, pray about supporting the Mission Church. We really need your help this weekend. Always be a blessing to others. Remember, there is only one God. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. So remember, folks, love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, and I think that's coming sooner than most of you think. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses you and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.